Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. We have arrived to a Friday. Welcome into the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. If you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Again, that's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a comment on the video chat for those of you who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and we can address some of those as we go along through the program. We've got a pretty busy show tonight. We are going to be joined by Patrick Daughtry from NBC Sports, covers the NFL. We'll talk with him coming up in about 10 minutes or so. 6:35, we're going to talk with our friend Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Of course, you also hear him here on KMOX, sometimes hosting this very show. We'll get some audio that we heard from Jim Montgomery, the team practice earlier today, his thoughts on where the team is at after just a really disappointing loss last night. And then our weekly Patrick Mahomes conversation that he does with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, and host Carrington Harrison. We'll run that tonight at about 7:35. So we've got a lot to get to between now and then. We've talked about it a lot. I will be leaving for Orlando tomorrow. The setup of the winter meetings takes place on Sunday. So we'll get all set up. We'll get all ready to go. And then things begin really earnestly on Monday. Monday and Tuesday are the busiest days that they have, and then Wednesday things start to slow down. You've got the Rule 5 draft and a few other things, but it's a little bit of a slower pace on Wednesdays. Things tear down and everything. And our first edition of the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show will be coming your way a week from yesterday, this Thursday, the first edition of that here on KMOX and, of course, across the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne and myself hosting that show on an every week basis, and it's always a lot of fun to be able to do that show with him, and looking forward to another year of doing it. So that's going to start on Thursday, and we'll do that from Orlando. You never know who we might run into, who we might talk to. It's always a good time in Orlando as the entire baseball industry comes together. It's one of my, like, from a personal standpoint, it's one of my favorite things to be able to do every year, because in my, you know, my baseball journey, which has been broadcasting in the minor leagues and then being around with the Brewers and then being around here with the Cardinals, I've met a lot of people. I've created a lot of friendships and things like that. And so many people that have been part of that journey, I get to see once a year, and that one time a year is at the baseball winter meeting. So it's a really cool thing to be able to experience that and see people that you care for that you don't get to see all that often. And I enjoy that. And I enjoy being able to have good conversations that we then provide for you both there in Sports Open Line next week, and also during the Countdown to Opening Day show. We'll be recording stuff and getting that ready to go. There'd been some conversations, like, internally or behind the scenes about whether or not Heim Bloom was going to be doing the same type of daily media interactions with the media that John Mozeliak did. And we got word today that indeed he would. So it's going to work out really well because it's all tentative. It can certainly change, but Haim is scheduled to meet with the media Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Orlando at 5:00 Eastern, 4:00 Central. So we'll go do that. We'll have that conversation. And then Rush Hour Sports, it gets going at 5:00. So I'll be coming right out of the conversation with Haim and hopping immediately on for the for Rush Hour Sports. So looking forward to being able to do that and provide for you what was said. And that's one of the things generally, I can't speak for anybody else in the market right now, but generally speaking, every year that I have gone to the winter meetings, we have been the only radio station that has representation at the winter meetings. So if you want to actually hear Haim Bloom and what he has to say, this is going to be the one opportunity, the one place that you're actually going to be able to hear it. And we'll be providing that for you on just about an everyday basis during the run of the meetings. Kevin Wheeler and I were just talking about this as he walked out the door off the air, hoping for at least just one sizable move, at least one from the Cardinals. And I don't, from an industry-wide standpoint, I'm still, I can be talked to either side on if it's going to be a busy winter meetings. In recent year, and last year wasn't terrible, but basically in recent years, it's been really slow. It's been really, really slow. And with the CBA coming up and the probable lockout less than a year away, I don't really know how that is going to impact the pace of the market. I think right now we're seeing that the pace of the market is focused around pitching, where certainly relief pitching. We've seen a lot of top-tier relief pitchers go off the board. We're starting to see some other pitchers, some starters get moved, and you know that includes Sonny Gray and his trade. But from a position player standpoint, not a whole lot has happened at this point. There was the one trade that was made of notable things that have happened from a notable standpoint. You had the deal that the Mets and the Rangers made, and that certainly was a notable trade with what they were able to do. But for the most part, it has been it has not yet hit the position player spots. And like I don't think Nolan Arenado is getting traded at the baseball winter meetings because there's so many other dominoes that have to fall down first before you can move an Arenado. Basically, Arenado is going to be a second or third option for a good number of teams that come up short with some of the other third basemen that are going to be available either as free agents or in trade. So all those other third basemen are essentially going to have to come off the board. And we played this game last year, right? Like we kept talking about the Bregman situation and waiting for Bregman to get signed to see what might happen with Arenado. And the two things weren't as related as we thought maybe they were, but also Arenado was traded to Houston and then he didn't take that deal. But I don't think Arenado is something that's going to happen in the near future. Maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you. But the other potential moves, the trading of a Brendan Donovan or a Lars Nootbaar or Nolan Gorman, any of those guys, I think it is a Jojo Romero, Wilson Contreras. I think it is distinctly possible that any one of those guys could get moved over the next few days as the winter meetings are going on. And just from a very selfish standpoint of wanting to have as much content as possible, I am personally hopeful that something does happen. So we've got something to talk about while we are in Orlando. We want to do a little bit more than just twiddling our thumbs over the course of 3-4 days. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk NFL football as we are set to be joined by Patrick Daughtry. He covers the NFL for NBC Sports. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back at it on KMOX. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Glad to have you with us. Again, we are going to be broadcasting the show from Orlando starting on Monday for baseball's winter meetings. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit of football. Entertaining game last night on Thursday Night Football with the Lions holding off the Cowboys in a high-scoring game. And then there is just a ton of really meaningful, compelling games that are going to be going on coming up on Sunday. To talk about that and more, we're very happy to welcome in a guy who is an NFL writer for NBC Sports. He's local here to St. Louis. Patrick Daugherty joins us on the program right now. You follow him on Twitter at RotoPat. Pat, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Truly, always my pleasure. You know, I'm here to talk about the football, and I will be listening very closely next week as you guys talk about, you know, which Cardinals might even remain on the team following the winter meetings, because I'm expecting and hoping for an active week for Heim and company.
Okay, so we'll get to football in a second. Is there any Cardinal that has been rumored to get moved that you would rather them not move?
Well, so I'm a father now, and this is the first time I've ever had to worry about my kids like being sad or upset that someone has traded away. Like, Brendan Donovan is probably the Cardinals, you know, best trade ship. I'm not breaking any news here. It would upset my son. He has the Brendan Donovan bobblehead. He also has a Lars bobblehead. And, like, it'd be the first time I'm going to have to explain, you know, it's a business. Like, we love the team. But, because, you know, me, I don't ever want the Cardinals to have to tear down and rebuild. But I know that they have to do it this time. So I'm like, you know, trade them all. But explaining it to my son will not be as fun as, you know, reading and listening to the analysis of the moves.
That's a real thing. Like, when Albert Pujols left to go to the Angels, there was a lot of tears from young Cardinal fans at that point. That's a real thing.
It is, yeah. You know, I was 25, and I'm thankful I didn't have to have my dad explain that to me at that point, but I almost did, because that one felt personal, too.
I'm sure you cried a little bit.
The Cardinals almost made me cry a few times growing up. I did not cry at Pujols leaving town. The 2004 NLCS, the Cardinals eventually won, may have almost brought me to tears when Jason Isringhausen blew a save in Houston, but that is neither here nor there.
Admittedly, I had a couple Kool-Aids, but I was brought to tears in Game 6 with David Freese.
Yeah, it was the 04 and 05 were that whole era, there were a lot of emotional roller coaster moments there. Okay. Most of them good, but not all of them.
Not all of them. All right, let's jump into this slate of games coming up this week. It is remarkable how many games here in week number 14 have serious playoff implications. It started last night with the Cowboys and the Lions, and then this slate this weekend is really, really good.
It is loaded, and it's the first year, I feel like, since they expanded the playoff field to 14 teams that we're actually going to maybe get some good teams left out, as instead of, you know, forcing some bad teams in, because I can't remember if this is the third or fourth season of the 7-team slate in each conference, but you know, the seventh seed has really kind of been a sacrificial lamb almost every year. And, you know, that's going to be the case more often than not, but a lot of years, the seventh seed, you know, it just, the talk has kind of been, you know, the NFL did not need to expand this playoff field. And I think you can maybe still credibly argue that, but this year, I mean, the Chiefs could get let out, of course. The Dallas Cowboys, you know, say what you will about the Cowboys, they honestly looked like a playoff team the past 5 or 6 weeks. The Chiefs beat the Texans. The Texans are on the ropes this weekend. And there's just going to be several good teams, not just one or two, I feel like, actually left out of the playoff field. So it's my long way of saying, like, it's exciting, actually, to have these games really, really mean something here in weeks 14 and 15 and down the stretch.
I feel like the Cowboys did this to themselves because it's defense that's let them down. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they kind of let a guy named Micah Parsons walk out the door before the season got started.
They did. And, you know, they tried to shore it up and kind of went a long way towards shoring it up at the trade deadline. The problem is those games before the trade deadline counted. And, you know, even with a good defense, you're going to have games like you go into Ford Field, you know, the Lions Dome, the Fast Track, where you're just going to have a bad night. You're going to allow 40 points. Like, that could happen even to a good defense, a solid defense. The problem is, you know, all the games where the Cowboys defense just wasn't competitive because of the lack of personnel, like you said, for the trade deadline. So it's a lot more respectable unit now, but just kind of too little, too late, and very frustrating. If you watch the Cowboys as a Cowboys fan, I'm not a Cowboys fan, for the record. Do not say on the radio I'm a Cowboys fan. But if you watch the Cowboys as a fan, you have to be feeling very frustrated because the 53 players they have now, that looks like a playoff roster. The problem is that was not the case before the trade deadline.
So when we look at the Chiefs specifically, here they are sitting as a 500 club. There's a good chance that they have to win out to be a playoff club. They're probably going to be favored in every single game from here to the end of the season, especially if they keep winning games. If they lose a couple, then maybe they're not favored against the Broncos late. But if they win and win and win, they'll probably be favored in every game. What do you think the chances are that this team does win out and does sneak into the postseason?
I still put it at over 50%, but this weekend might honestly be the key game because, you know, maybe I'm a Missouri homer. I think the Chiefs are probably a better team than the Broncos, but I think the division's just out of reach at this point. So they're going to have to sneak in as the wild card, you know, kind of unthinkable during the Mahomes era. So not only they just need to win out for the raw victory totals, but they got to beat the Texans for the head-to-head tiebreaker. Like, this might be the biggest game of the Chiefs season. You know, they could come down to like a win and end game that will, you know, technically be bigger, but that it might be because of what happens in this game. To me, this is the critical game remaining on the Chiefs' schedule because the Chargers are just in a really weakened state. And I think it's the Titans. I'm looking at their schedule right now. Then it's the Broncos. That'll be a huge one, of course. Then the Raiders. That'll be a gimme in Week 18. But this one, especially at home, against the team, they're going to be fighting for one of those wild card spots. They have to win this game against the Texans.
Bears and Packers match up this weekend. Bears are 9-3. Packers are 8-3-1. Lions apply a little bit of pressure by winning their eighth game yesterday. You have to wonder if that tie is going to come back to either help or hurt the Packers at some point in time. But that division is just so tough with those top three teams.
It is. And talk about a telling game because I think the Bears are 8-1 over their past nine games. And until last week, it's the Eagles. So, you know, the first thing a good team does, of course, is beat bad teams. So you can't really take, like, the easy wins, quote-unquote, away from the Bears. But they didn't really have, like, a signature win or, like, even really an impressive win during that streak until, you know, going into Philadelphia. The Eagles, of course, having their own issues. That was a really big win for the Bears. So it's good that they got this one big signature win right now, but doing it's the Packers with all the implications, you know, divisional, wild card. This would be the biggest game in recent Bears memory. And I'm fascinated to see how they perform because the Eagles game, that was great. But Caleb Williams still not playing like particularly well. They're kind of trying to hide him, still struggling with his accuracy. He's actually, I think, completed under 60% of his passes in like 5 or 6 straight starts. So the Bears, despite playing very well the past 2 months, I would consider them a team very much on the spot this weekend.
All right, so I might just be an idiot. That can be true very often in my life. But I look at the two games where two teams are matched up against each other with first place on the line in the division, with the Colts and Jaguars, each team is 8-4, and the Steelers and Ravens, each team at 6-6. I don't think either the Colts or Jaguars are any good, And I think both the Steelers and Ravens are good. And they've got it's the Steelers and Ravens who have the worst record between the two. So comment on my take on comparing those two games.
Well, I would say none of the four are aesthetically pleasing as one problem, especially the Jaguars. They're 8-4, but you watch the Jags and you're just kind of like, I don't really understand how they keep winning these games, but they do. The Colts were kind of winning with style earlier in the season, but you know, Daniel Jones has kind of regressed to his career mean in terms of turnovers. He's always been kind of a turnover machine, not so much the interceptions, but a really bad fumbler. He's playing through a really significant leg injury. They've been a much tougher watch. And the Ravens are the team of the four that are the most shocking because, you know, I'm not surprised the Steelers are a tough watch. But the Ravens, I'm expecting a rock fight between the Ravens and the Steelers, which, you know, we get sometimes between those two teams. But if there's a team that's going to open up, it's usually the Ravens. But I think Lamar Jackson is just too hurt. He's three straight starts without a single touchdown for Lamar, which, I mean, talk about inconceivable for a guy with his dual threat. And I actually think there's a little more juice in that Colts-Jaguars game. But I don't fault anyone for not thinking that because I think they're probably two better teams at this point, but they're not very fun to watch.
Lamar Jackson has no injury designation after having a full practice on Friday. But it was the first time this year where he always doesn't practice on Wednesday, but he didn't miss practice Wednesday and Thursday this week. You mentioned that he's banged up. It really feels like they're just trying to kind of drag him into these games.
They are. And even before, like, the big injury that actually cost him time was the hamstring. Even before that, I frankly think he was playing hurt because I think that was the Chiefs game where he got hurt, where I was seeing him tackled from behind by linebackers, which I just quite literally had never seen during Lamar Jackson's career. And I don't know if he just hasn't been right maybe since the summer, or there's been a surgery he's putting off or something. They're giving him like almost a different body part every week. Like one week they'll say it's his knee. The next it's his ankle. Like I said, it was the hamstring that actually cost him time. But the bottom line is he just isn't even, not only is he not healthy, he doesn't even appear remotely close to full health. And Lamar is a good passer, but what makes Lamar a special player is the dual threat. And when he doesn't have that dual threat, which he just doesn't appear to have right now, makes him a totally different player, and it just makes the Ravens a completely different team.
Okay, what I'm about to ask you, literally nobody might care about, but you just said something. I look at injury reports on an almost everyday basis for a bunch of teams in the NFL, and I have never seen in my life, and maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment and it's always been like this, it seems like so many more injured guys are being listed with multiple injuries. Like somebody's, you know, a limited in practice because of a knee and an elbow. Like it in the past, it's always been one thing. This year, there's just a gaggle of guys who are listed with multiple parts on their body that are not right.
I don't think it's the players are any more injured. It's that I think the teams are just trying to be as transparent as possible, like more transparent than ever, because you know they don't want a situation like baseball has with Emmanuel Clase and the Guardians, and they don't want it to come out later like, oh, yeah, because it does come out occasionally in the NFL, like, oh, yeah, he needed ankle surgery all year, but it wasn't affecting his practice status, so we didn't list him with the ankle. And, you know, by week 14 of the NFL season, almost every player probably has two or three things that are bothering them. So I don't necessarily think it's the players are any more hurt. I think it's the NFL, you know, trying to stay one step ahead of what might be an inevitable gambling scandal and just, you know, maybe lightly encouraging the teams, quote unquote, to be as transparent as possible with these injury listings.
You work in the fantasy space, and that's different than sports gambling, but they're certainly cousins in some ways. What, and we just had sports gambling go live in Missouri here this week. In what you do, how much does that intersect, and what do you see in terms of the influence of sports gambling?
Well, you know, not all of it's great, of course. Some of it does. Some of it has been useful to fantasy football because it does lend itself to a good tiebreaker always in fantasy football is what's the game environment going to be like? And maybe 10 years ago, there were people following the spreads very closely. Not maybe, there were, but not nearly as many people. Whereas now this week, even if someone who does not consider myself a gambler, I do not plan to be placing many bets, even in now legal Missouri, I know the spread for every game. I know the game total for every game. And that's kind of a good shorthand for, like, what kind of game environment is going to be. Like, Bills-Bengals has one of the highest game totals of the entire year. You're making lineup decisions. use a tiebreaker in favor of getting a bill in there, getting a bingle in there. And a lot of it just corresponds, of course, with common sense. Those are two explosive offenses. I would say that's maybe, I'm sure, a lot of negative ways that they're intersecting, but a positive way is just kind of creating like an understandable shorthand, I would say, for the common fans.
Patrick Daugherty, he is on Twitter, at RotoPat, covers the NFL, covers fantasy for NBC Sports. He is a St. Louisan. We love being able to talk to him. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure we'll check in again down the line.
Truly always my pleasure, and yeah, I'll be listening next week for your Cardinals report.
Awesome, very good. I appreciate that. Patrick Daugherty joining us on the program. We appreciate him being with us. We'll take a break. When we return, our good friend Scott Warman is going to join us. We'll talk Blues and Cardinals with him. That's next. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to take you throughout the course of this Friday evening. Very happy to welcome back onto the show. He's our good friend Scott Warman. Of course, you hear him sometimes here on KMOX. You see him a lot on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest on the desk for Blues games and Cardinals games. He joins us right now. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's start by talking about the Blues, and unfortunately...
Oh, man. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that's what we're going to lead with. That's where we're at.
What a shocker.
The exact same things being said after the game last night, questioning the team's energy and effort and things like that. What is it going to take for this team to get past that?
It's amazing. And I hate to kind of maybe bore some people, but we've known each other, 20-some-odd years when you were intern at KFNS. And, you know, I did the Rams broadcast pre- and post-game, and this is when the Rams were starting their downslide after the greatest show on turf. And there was a conversation during one of our post games about effort. And this is something I learned doing this for a while. And the next week over at Rams Park, I was kind of being taken to the side to the quote unquote principal's office going, you can't question people's effort. I'm like, okay, well, it was just kind of a conversation. Things don't look good, blah, 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 blah. And I'm hearing this. I'm like, okay, so this is one of the things I'm learning, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you try not to put yourself into a professional athlete's shoes, much less I don't want to put myself into someone else in their profession, because I don't know if you're a, you know, electrician or whatever. I don't know any of that stuff. So with all that being said, you just kind of say, well, you know, things don't look good, what have you. My point of this is when you have your own coach mentioning this for, I don't know, second, third, whatever time, that's really concerning when we're, what, almost 30 games into the season. And learning from that, what I did back with the Rams, and you don't even have to mention it in the postgame show because the coaches mention it, there has to be something, I would hope, internally from a team standpoint, and I'm specifically talking about the players, they have to have what we would call a come to Jesus meeting, as I would say. Something has got to happen here because as I've relayed to other people, because obviously, as you know, Maddie, I'm sure you get this conversation with people you run into around town, just like I do. It's like, this team was arguably, if not the best, one of the best teams after the Four Nations tournament. And you're 2.2 seconds away from eliminating one of the best teams in the NHL and going to the second round. So my point is to that is the fact that there obviously is there an ability there to play at a high level. And for the most part, why we have not seen it from this group, again, to start, what, the third season in a row in such a slow, methodical fashion, absolutely shocks me. I mean, it's really, I'm really amazed by it. I wish I could put my finger on it and tell, you know, even the Blues why this is going on. I don't know why, but you talk about this core group, Maddie, that has been around. Jim Montgomery's not going anywhere this time. And am I insinuating that Doug Armstrong's going to make trades? No. You know, there's a lot of rumors out there that maybe Army might be going out and trying to deal maybe some of these guys to shake things up. I think that's harder to do with the situation you have with some of the contracts that some of these quote-unquote core players. But, again, I go back to me, this team, I hope Braden Shin and the leadership group bring everybody together and go, look, we can't have performances like we saw in Boston and we've seen in previous weeks with, you know, several different teams over this last, you know, what, 2+ months of the season. I was really pumped up for this season, and I still find hope just because there's so much parity in the league. But it has been, I'm just like a fan too, Manny, and I don't know how you feel about this, but this truly has been very disappointing how this season has started out with this hockey team. And I'm still a believer that they're a lot better than what we've seen up to this point, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with that. And they're not even buried in the standings. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot, yeah, which is remarkable. The startling things for me, the two things is, some of the things we're hearing from Jim Montgomery, we heard from Drew Bannister, we heard from Craig Berube at the end of his tenure, so it's a lot more of the, just kind of the same thing. And then like a game like yesterday, that's Montgomery going back against his former team. And generally in situations like that, your team has that extra step as they want to get that win for their coach. Or if a player goes back and faces his former team, his teammates want to get that win for that player. And we didn't see that against Boston, and to me that's notable.
And it's a great point, Matt. I mean, an excellent point that you bring up. And to me, not only from that standpoint, but I think what you have seen from the standpoint of, even if you just look at last night's game, the just complete breakdowns from a defensive standpoint. Now, I'll say this, and I've said this on our air, I've said on CamWex, much less saying on FanDuel, is the fact that, you know, first month of the season was not good, whether it's Jordan Binnington or Joel Hofer. And I think those guys would be up front and say they were disappointed in their play. But they've turned things around. You even look at the numbers, and the numbers have been improving immensely for both of those guys, both individually, but as a team, goaltending aspect, save percentage way up, goals against way up. And just if you look at last night's game, there was at least three goals. And I'll just say at least three of those five goals by Boston. Binnington didn't have a chance. And the complete breakdowns of your defense. And it's not just, you know, guys in the blue line, but you can also point to that. But you also have to have guys in the forward line back checking in, helping out. And as I always say, you have to have connectivity. You have to be connected. And the Blues just seem, for whatever reason, you didn't have that many changes over the offseason. And you just haven't had that. You just doesn't, more nights than not, you just don't see a connection there with this hockey team. And you go to the second goal last night. I know it's been pointed out. I know Andy and Jamie pointed out on our postgame show last night is the fact that you got two guys the two defensemen that are below the red line tried to check off one player, and he wins that puck battle, and that's hence why you wind up with the second goal eventually for the Boston Bruins. Well, these are not new guys. Pareko's been around forever. Broberg's around here for 2 years, and Broberg's probably arguably our best defenseman that we've had consistently so far early in the season. And it's just like, where's the communication? Where's the connection here? And that's just one of many examples that we can throw out there. So it's if you're against the goaltending here in the last month plus, I'm sorry, I have to defend the goaltending, and I have to say that it's the guys in front of them that have to make better plays. And even I know I was pointing out Matthew DeFranks, that I think is really doing a nice job covering the Blues for the Post-Dispatch. And Matthew pointed out in his story today that one of the goals started because one of our forwards didn't chip the puck all the way deep into the other end. And when they didn't get that deep puck, well, then you've got a team in transition like Boston, and then boom, boom, next thing you know, the puck's in the net. Well, these are the little things that can be, you know, magnified, and you have to magnify them when your team is losing like this. The other point, to get back to what you just said, I just thought about while we're talking here, Maddie, is the fact that you had Pasternak and McAvoy and Swayman, their number one goaltender, they weren't even on the ice last night. So that's another thing that just, you know, it kind of puts, unfortunately, more pain into Blues fans and I'm sure Blues management as well in the outcome of last night's game.
We're talking with Scott Warman, FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Let's jump over to the Cardinals for just a moment before we get you out of here. Winter meetings opening up Sunday, Monday is when things are going to get started in Orlando. We've already seen one big move made with Sonny Gray being traded. What are your expectations about what this offseason is going to continue to look like for the Cardinals, and how drastically do you want to see this team make these changes in an effort to bring in more young prospect talent?
Yeah, I think, Maddie, what you're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg for Chaim Bloom. Now, I think Chaim has been around the block, and so it's not like this is his first rodeo, so he knows a lot of people, so he's not going to get railroaded more than likely as far as the deal is concerned. But I expect, you know, as I mentioned with Amy and Chris, that I thought the Gray deal was probably the first domino to fall. And I would surmise you probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, I know that a lot of people, and I love Brendan Donovan as well, but, you know, is Donnie want to be on a winning baseball team? And there's a lot of interest in Brendan Donovan. And what can you get? Can you get semi a haul for a guy like Brendan Donovan? Well, at this stage of where you're at, where you're basically in this rebuild, retool, I think that you definitely have to look at that. But I think the main focus and the top of conversation, I'm sure you've had this with Wheels and everybody else, Bernie, is the fact that, you know, Nolan Arenado's a guy that's sticking out there that, you know, is willing to expand his horizons to be dealt. I think the Cardinals want to deal him, but I think the biggest thing is that's going to be a more difficult trade for Chaim Bloom to make more than anything else. Sure, it's easy. Hey, let's make a trade, but there's a big financial situation there. And the one surprise I had, Maddie, when I spoke to Chris and Amy about this, was the fact that the amount of money that the Cardinals also gave the Red Sox to make that move was opened my eyes. And I'm sure they're not dumb. They realize they're going to have to eat a lot of that Nolan Arenado contract in order for Nolan to move to another team. How much? I think that's going to be interesting. And I think anybody out there is, you know, reasonable has to realize that, unfortunately, Nolan, as great of a third baseman as he is, his offensive skills sadly have deteriorated. So you're not going to get a whole heck of a lot. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. But, and again, Chaim Bloom's been there. He realizes that. But I hope Cardinal fans, Matt, also realize that you're not going to get a heist for a guy like Nolan Arenado. A prospect or two is probably at best what you're going to get. But that to me is probably going to be the most difficult trade that the Cardinals are going to have to make, because the other thing, and I was just talking to somebody about this, they were asking me about J.J. Weatherholt, who I firmly believe will be with this team on opening day against Tampa at the end of March, is Weatherholt probably more than likely is the second baseman. So with that being said, that would also tell me, if that's the case, that, you know, Brendan Donovan would be a guy that you either have to put somewhere else, or Matt, you have to deal him. And I think probably letting go of one of your great players, again, at the stage where this organization is at, is probably the smartest move for this team moving forward. Because as Haim has mentioned to you, and I know he's mentioned to several different other outlets, is the fact that they want to try to get this thing fixed as quickly as possible. But it's still, we're talking 2-3 years down the line before you can be a formidable opponent, barring some unforeseen circumstances with this team.
You see Scott Warman on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest at the desk, Blues Cardinals broadcast. You hear him occasionally right here on KMOX, sometimes even hosting this show. Scott, we really appreciate you. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you very soon.
You too, Maddie. Thanks, bud.
That is Scott Warman joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we'll hear some of what Jim Montgomery said to the media earlier today as they practiced on the road. We'll also hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation. Something happened today. I always like pause before I start talking about these things because I'm not the expert here. But John Hackworth, who had done a really nice job doing a lot of different things at City SC, it was announced today that he's leaving the organization, leaving the club, and he's going to go become the next head coach for the men's soccer team at the United States Naval Academy. First off, I love service academies. I worked at Air Force for a really long time. It's a very cool thing to be able to work at a service academy, and I'm excited for John Hackworth that he is going to be able to experience what it's like to work at a service academy. That being said, to me, that's a step down. That's a step back. I don't think that's a lateral move. I think that's a backwards move. And maybe he did not have anything guaranteed with City under Corey Ray, and basically had already been told that, and they gave him the opportunity to go pursue another job, so it didn't look like a situation where he was being let go. I don't know any of the inner workings, but I lament something. I lament the fact that after John Hackworth did an incredible job as the interim coach after Bradley Carnell was let go, that they did not hire him to the full-time role, and they went with Olaf Melberg instead. And then I lament a little bit, not quite as much, that they went with David Critchley over him when they had him the second opportunity. I think Critchley did a fine job. I'm not quite as passionate on that one. But I would have loved to have seen where this organization would be sitting right now if Hackworth would have been given the opportunity instead of Olaf Melberg. I think he earned that opportunity, and they didn't give it to him. And then they don't give him the technical director job. I don't know if he was even interested in that. It'd be interesting to me if he could hop in the DeLorean, go back and make him the head coach instead of Olaf Melberg and see where things are right now. Maybe they'd be exactly the same. I don't know, but I'm sorry to see John Hackworth leave City SC for sure. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.